Double checking, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
All right, so tonight I want to talk about the suffering that we as Christians are going to have to endure and how we can glorify God through suffering. And I want to start out in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So because we're going to have our light shining and we're doing good works, then we're going to be a peculiar people, and this will not go unnoticed. And when people begin to see how the way we act is different than the way they act, they're not going to like us. In John chapter 9, verse 5, we also have another scripture that where Jesus says that he is a light of the world. Let's go to John chapter 3 and we'll read verses 19 through 21. John 3, 19 through 21 says, "And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." And so, this is why the world hates Jesus' disciples, because we're telling them what they're doing is not right, and they don't want to be reproved in verse 20. Let's go to John chapter 15, and we'll read 18 through 24. "If the world hate you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." So, Matthew 5, we saw that we cannot be hid. And so, if we're truly disciples, then we're not going to be able to hide ourselves from being hated. And let's go to Acts chapter 9 and read verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 9, 15 and 16. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and their children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Paul had to suffer for Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And this is a big part of being a Christian and the way that God forms our heart. In Colossians chapter 1, we'll read verses 24 through 29. It says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." And so if we're not willing to suffer for Christ's sake, how will God form our hearts? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though ye now see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So in this passage we see a process that we have to go through, which ultimately ends in the salvation of our souls if we are worthy. And part of this process is in verse 6, where it says that we can greatly rejoice, but for a season, if needs be, we'll be in heaviness through manifold temptations. And so we should be keeping in mind through these temptations that this is the trial of our faith, and that in order to overcome, we're going to have a strong mind, that we are willing to suffer. If God forms our hearts through sufferings, we should always be happy to suffer. Let's also read 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 19. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteousness scarce and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, as unto a faithful creator. So in verse 13 it says we should rejoice because we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. And we shouldn't be ashamed, it says in verse 16. So if we're suffering as a Christian, we shouldn't be ashamed, but we should glorify God on this behalf. And so if we're being ashamed because we're suffering for Christ and we're ashamed that we're Christians, then that's a dishonor to God, and that's not going to be pleasing to him. And also in Psalms 8, verse 4, Psalms 8, verse 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" So what power does man have over God? And the answer is none. And so whatever happens to us is the will of God. And we should also keep in mind the scripture that says that God works all things together for those that love him and who are called according to his purpose. So we should fear God. We see in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 through 33. Fear not them, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so we see that we should only be fearing God, not man, because man only has power to kill us physically, and that's only if God sees that that's best. But God has power to both to destroy both our physical body and cast our soul into hell. So we should be fearing God. In James chapter 1, verse 2, we have another scripture that tells us we need to be joyful when we fall into temptation. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And let's go to Acts chapter 5, and we have a passage here of the disciples when they were persecuted for teaching in the temple, and they were threatened. We'll start in verse 21, Acts 5, verse 21. It says, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And then in verse 41, it says, talking about the disciples after this was over, it says, "And they departed from this presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the shame of his name, for his name." And verse 42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Christ Jesus." So before this happened, you know, they were in prison for teaching, and they were threatened, and then they were told not to go teach in the temple anymore. And when they were released from prison, the first thing they did is went back to the temple and started preaching. And so they were threatened again. And in verse 24, it says, or they said, "We should fear God rather than man." So we see the disciples did not have an earthly mind. They weren't worried about what the Pharisees could do to them in this earth. They were wor more worried about what God could do to them later. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 12. "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and angels unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it." So the things that disciples have to endure, many of them are listed here. It could be that as disciples that we're made spectacles at certain times. And in that case, whenever we have to endure things such as in verse 11, it says, "Even unto this present hour we hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place." So even under these conditions, we should be trusting in God. We also have another good example in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They also understood that if they were to worship the idol that they were commanded to, that this would be dishonoring God. And we'll read Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 16. Daniel 3, 8 through 16. Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that should hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that ye Do you not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And we know that later in this passage that God delivered them from the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar commanded that no one stop them from worshiping their God. So by our example, we can be a glory to God, and we can also encourage others by our example. We can think of Paul, who went through many things and was a great example that is super encouraging to read about. So how do we prepare ourselves so that when we are facing these situations, we can overcome? And much of it has to do with our minds. So the ones who glorified God through suffering had to have a mind completely set on serving God, and they had to renew their minds. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So in verse 6 and 7, we see that we should pray in faith. And also in verse 8, we see that a person who is doubting or a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. So if we have a mind that we're afraid of man and we're also afraid of God, that's not going to work. We have to decide that we're afraid of the Lord and that we're not going to fear man. Let's read Psalms 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Also, we have Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. So whenever we're putting our trust in the Lord, then we can have confidence in Him if we ask in faith that He will deliver us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 29. Actually, I think we read this earlier. In Isaiah chapter 50, we'll read verses 1 through 10. Isaiah 50, verse 10 says, Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So we should be remembering that in every situation we're faced with, even if it's something that's small, that we should be putting our trust in God and that we should be praying, and also that we should be renewing our minds so that our minds are prepared whenever we are faced with these things.
Song of invitation tonight will be number 516. Song number 516. We'll sing all three verses. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name in mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispels my guilt and fear. No other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. And when to that bright world above we rise to see our Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love his name, the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have blessed us with this day. We thank you that you have continued to sustain us throughout this day and that you provide for us our food and our clothing and the air that we breathe. And please continue to provide for us those things that are necessary for our life. Please help us to continue to study your word each and every day and write it upon our hearts, and please help us to have understanding of what we're reading, and that we might be more pleasing to you each and every day. Please help us to teach our children well those precepts and principles that are found in your word. And please give us good patience in dealing with our brethren and our children and those that we work with, and that please help us to be mindful of the time that we have upon this earth and to spend it doing your righteousness and not spending it upon our own lusts. And we thank you that you have given us this country that we live in, and we thank you that you have established the governments of this world. Please help those lawmakers and judges and those in authority to look favorably upon Christians and to make laws and uphold justice so that we might be able to live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty before you. We thank you that you have given us our jobs that we can earn a living, and please help us to be good employees and to be conscientious and always thinking of others first. Please help us to strive to be more loving and with one another, and to find out each other's burdens so that we might be able to bear them. Please help those of our number that are sick, and we thank you that you have blessed Brother Glenn with a good recovery, and please help us Sister brother and sister Johnson and help them to be well and to continue to be able to do good works. And we pray for our brethren that are around the world, especially those that are in India and those areas that are not favorable for your word. And please, if it is your will, protect them from all harm, and that they might continue to be, that they might continue to worship you without fear of the government. And we pray that as we go into this new week, that we would be strong and courageous, and that we would, in every situation that we find ourselves, that we would be willing to speak what is right, and that we would always be ready to tell people of that hope that is in us. Please help us to recognize the traps that our adversary is setting before us, and that we might escape them, and that we might not fall to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Daniel, that was well done and encouraging.
Amen.
Thank you, Samuel.
Michael and Glenn, your prayers were very encouraging also.
Good.
Just happy to be able to listen tonight, so thank you all.
Dennis and Beth, are you feeling okay?
Generally speaking, yes.
That's good.
It's so funny to be at home. Strange funny, not haha funny.
Well, we miss you.
Yeah, we miss being there.
Yeah, we're missing you this morning.
Yes, what? Yes, we're missing everybody.
So how's Sister Evelina tonight?
You can hear. No, hear. He asked how you were doing tonight.
I'm doing all right.
That's good. Been staying well?
Yeah. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other.
Well, we're glad you could join tonight.
Yeah, I could. Glad.
Amen.
Roger.
It's good to hear your voice, Sister Evelina.
Thank you. It's good to be with y'all, too. I hope to be there in person some soon.
That's good. Is Margie over there? No, we appreciate Margie going over there to be with you.
Yeah. Oh, well, I do, too. I appreciate him so much.
Dave's over here, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye there.
I'm glad she took you, Dave. Hello.
Hello.
Ariana.
Hey, Ariana.
Hello.
Identify yourself.
It's me, Avery.
Okay.
Hey, Avery.
We have one awake and one asleep. That's Avery. What old people do to young people. Put them asleep.
Avery, did you know if you say me that we still don't know who that is? Because we're all me.
So, Avery, how are you doing?
Good.
That's good. Are you doing online
I didn't hear.
Are you doing online school?
Online, no. I'm homeschooled.
Okay, great.
That's even better.
Yeah. Maybe it's not as good as you think it is.
I think you'll find out that it's way better than you think it is.
If she has a mind to work, she's usually done in less than an hour.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yes, it does.
I'm enjoying Ariana's drawings she sent me. Thank you, Ariana.
That was
you're welcome.
That was Ariana. She liked her drawing.
Hi, Ari.
We love you.
We love you all too. You all have a good night.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Right, you too.
Hi, good night.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Good night, friends.
Good night. Goodbye. That must have been Francis.
Ma'am.
I just recognized your name, Francis. Your voice, Francis. I couldn't figure out who it was.
All right. Okay, then. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey there, Evelina. How are you?
I think they go.
Okay, no problem. How are y'all doing?
We're all right.
Hanging in there.
I'm glad. We're missing you.
Yeah, just a little short of breath.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
So do you have a cold too?
I got something that's affecting my whole head.
Yeah.
And nothing but every medicine I can get my hands on helps.
Yuck.
Need another treat.
Is Glenn still on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to say you caught me this morning when I was putting Levi in the car getting rained on. So I'm sorry if I didn't really talk to you much, but we're glad you got the card. It was good.
That's okay. I was just passing by. It was raining, and I didn't want you to stop what you were doing there. So I was just kind of thanking you for the card that y'all had made as I was going by.
Well, I'm glad it got there, and I was glad to see you there, that you're feeling better enough to get there.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Anybody have anything coming up this week?
Yeah, the Grotz House on Saturday.
Okay, well, that's a good thing to remember. Don't forget.
What time?
7 p.m., Lord willing.
Okay.
We're going to try to start promptly at 7, so...
Okay.
Yep. So you can come a little bit early if you want.
Sounds good. I hope we're in condition to come early.
Yep. Yeah, we're definitely praying for y'all, and you can pray for us.
Definitely, y'all. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Is everything going okay at your house today?
Yep. Yep, went fine.
I thought I heard Daniel a while ago. Is he there?
Who? Daniel? Yeah, Daniel's here. You want to talk to him? Hey, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
We'll put him on video. There's Daniel. He wants to put some lights.
I don't see any way to get a picture up here.
Are you logged in through the WebEx online or phone call?
No connection, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's through the phone, you can't get the video.
Right.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, there's Aunt Char.
Hi.
Is that Aunt Char? You got a response.
He's growling at me. To you too.
Shara, I was gonna tell Ariana and Avery about how Houston Matthew used to do homeschooling. And it was the big incentive to see how fast you could finish and then get to go spy on people, right?
Right. But they've got nowhere to go spy.
They could spy on a neighbor. Oh well, I better not put ideas. I better not put ideas in their head. Get in trouble that way. Y'all climbed in all sorts of places to look in windows, didn't you?
Yep.
Or look out of your tower, that well tower. It was more exciting that way.
Absolutely. Almost as exciting as chase.
As what?
As a game of chase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hide and seek or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you didn't have it so bad when you were a kid.
Not at all. I think I have it had it better than most kids nowadays.
True. Nowadays, yeah.
So what's your head doing tonight, Dad?
Oh, I think it might be empty.
That's too bad. Yeah, I guess we have to thank Samuel for teaching then.
Yeah, I was ready, but about 1 o'clock, I looked at the schedule, and sure enough, Sammy was on.
Oh, okay.
We should just study for another hour then.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go. You've got 5 of us on here.
Yeah.
Grandma's still on.
Grandma, yes. Megan's still on?
I don't know.
Apparently not.
I know Travis and Jenna are over there with her, so no doubt they're talking.
Yeah. Everybody at your house okay?
It's So far, so good.
It's good.
Right.
Yeah, as far as we know, yeah, you can't say much more than that.
So did Hannah feel okay when she went into work tonight, or is she still feeling tired?
She's not feeling very well.
She's not doing too well.
Night shift is an awful thing.
Yeah. It sure can mess you up.
What?
I think it would change my personality.
Yeah, the cold air at night doesn't help the personality at all, does it?
Maybe it's the reaction to it. Who knows?
So she also, she has to walk in quite a ways too, right?
I don't know if they're still having her park way out there.
Ella's telling me she has a parking garage, so it's not
It's not as bad. It was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Different ones would go and walk her out there.
Wow.
Including Kayla.
Kayla's still out there. Her manager told her that they didn't have enough slots to give her a parking garage pass, and then she has never, I don't think, remembered it.
Oh, no. Does anybody walk her out there?
I don't know. Does anybody walk you, Kayla? Kayla says no. She says she just walks fast.
That's terrible.
Uncle John does not approve of that.
Uncle John doesn't approve of that, Kayla. She says it's not that bad. I say it's that bad.
If I were a predator, that would be an ideal spot.
Too bad Uncle John is not working at Lexington.
Yeah.
What, Mother?
Too bad Uncle John is not working at Lexington.
That's right. Kayla, what'd you say? You carry what? Kayla says she carries an eyeglasses screwdriver. She's fine. And a couple of bags of candy, too.
Candy can only work if you have a little girl like Elena.
She says she's got her stethoscope, too.
Yeah.
Threaten to examine them.
Oh, sorry. So, John, when are you going to switch over to Lexington?
Probably never.
Oh, well, it seems to be where everyone's going. So.
I know. But I'm pretty well invested where I am, so it would kind of behoove me with my you know, what they give for retirement benefits and all that, keep that going.
Well, that's pretty good. I just didn't know if everyone was switching over and taking over the hospital over there.
Well, at least John's not at Prisma, so that's helpful.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've had a couple of folks from Lexington, a couple of their ER physicians, I think three of them, that have come over to the VA. Right. They pay them well over at Lexington, but they beat them up.
It's a trade-off with schedule. We like your schedule.
Yes, I love my schedule, and I would not be able to have the schedule I do if I went anywhere else.
Yeah. Appreciate you doing.
I would be missing every other Sunday and Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds like you got it better.
Yep.
All right. Well, Mike, I think everything's ready for us to eat, so we're gonna sign off here. But it's good talking to everybody.
All right. Good night.
All right. You too.
Yeah. Good night. Good talking to you. Good night.
Good night.
Turn this off. All right, Glotz and Jobes are going to sign off. Everybody have a good week.
All right, you and too. You I guess too. Bacon's are out.
Johnson's are in. We're out. See ya.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you too. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thanks for taking Mother.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
That's good.